Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. In this week's sermon from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 through 18, we see that Jesus is the merciful and faithful high priest. And in response to how Jesus is, we should live by extending mercy, by living faithful, and by resisting sin just as Jesus did. We must let Jesus be our example for how to live our lives. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a blessed week.
Good morning. Thank you, Marty, for leading us in worship this morning in praise of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. First off, I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here today. I hope that today is all that you hope and wish it to be for you as a father, and you get to hang out with your kids or anybody else in your family for that matter. So, Happy Father's Day to you guys. Today, we're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. So, if you have your copy of God's Word with you, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. We're going to continue, as I've already stated, through our Hebrews study and seeing that Jesus is the fitting Savior, how He is the Savior that was to come and is to come and is saving people today. Give you guys a moment to get there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. And the Word of God says this. It says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning and we just thank you so much for being such a good, good Father. God, you have ultimately displayed the greatest way to be a Father, Lord, because you are a Father to all of us who are believers in you, Lord. And God, this morning we just come to you and we just thank you for your word here in Hebrews, Lord, of how you have sent Jesus to be our faithful and merciful High Priest. And God, I pray that you help us to see that today, that you are merciful, that you are faithful, Lord, and that you help us in temptation. God, this morning I pray that if there's one here who has never given their life to you, who has never believed in you as Savior and Lord, that today is the day that they will repent of their sins and believe in you as Savior, God. That they will surrender their lives to you and give themselves over to you, Lord. And God, I pray that with me this morning, you will just help me to speak with simplicity, speak with clarity, and speak with passion this morning, God. That you will just help me to boldly proclaim your word and your truth alone, God. And God, most of all, we thank you for Jesus and him dying on the cross for our sins. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Have you ever acted in a certain way? Have you ever acted like someone else? Ever acted in a certain way because you saw someone else act that way? With today being Father's Day, many of us have fathers that we probably in some ways act like, or we reflect, or we imitate, or maybe we do the embarrassing things that we do, that our fathers do, or even our parents do, that we're just like, man, that's exactly like my dad. I don't know if I like that about myself or not. I don't know if y'all have ever done that before, but I've done that before. I see my dad do something and I'm like, I've been doing that lately. That's where I get that from, and now I'm embarrassed to have that, right? You know? Or maybe it was an athlete that you imitated. You know, Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time, right? And so many people would love to mimic and act like Michael Jordan in hopes to be able to play basketball like him. One person that did this really well was Kobe Bryant, you know. Kobe Bryant was someone who wanted to imitate Michael Jordan, wanted to play like Michael Jordan. He studied Michael Jordan. He watched Michael Jordan play. He learned his moves, learned how to shoot and dribble very much like Michael Jordan. And Kobe Bryant would eventually become one of the greatest players to play the game of basketball. And so much so that when people shoot a basketball now, or they throw a piece of trash at the trash can in hopes of it going in, what do they say? Kobe, right? You know, trying to make the basketball. But athletes isn't the only ones that people act like. As I just stated, kids will often act like their parents in so many ways. They will sometimes begin saying words like their parents. Just to give you an example, here recently, Auden has been saying this word, come here, come here. Come here. And what she's saying is, come here. Because Ashton and I have started to say, hey, Auden, come here. Come here. You know, come over here. And so now she has started to imitate us by saying, come here. Except for it's really cute. A lot better than how I say it. It's like, come here, come here, come here. And so many of you, I'm sure, have found yourselves acting exactly like your parents. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you sit, the way you cook things and on the stove, it doesn't matter. There's so many different ways that you find yourself acting like your parents. Or maybe you act like them because they have displayed such tremendous character in their lives that you want to be like them in that way. The way that they cared for you, the way that they loved you, the way that they supported you as a kid. And then now you have kids and you have adult kids and you have grandkids and you want to love your grandkids. You want to love your own kids. You want to support them and care for them the same exact way that your parents loved and cared for you. And this is exactly how we should respond to our passage today from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, about how Jesus was the faithful and merciful high priest. We should live like Jesus because he has displayed himself to us in such a merciful and faithful and helping way. And as we ultimately will live like Jesus, we will act like Jesus. It will create actions within us in which we will live because we want to live like Christ, because he has died for us, and because he has saved our very own souls. So I ask you this morning, do you live like Christ? Do you extend mercy to those around you? Are you faithful in your walk with Jesus? Do you also resist sin? My hope, my purpose in preaching this sermon to you today from Hebrews chapter 2 is that you will see how Christ lived his life and in return lived your life very much like Jesus did. Our passage today is ultimately on how Jesus is the merciful and faithful high priest. And it's actually the first time that this phrase high priest is used in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to see it several more times throughout the rest of the book. But for now, I believe it's important that we just take a moment and look back to the Old Testament and just remember and discover what a high priest was. And just so we are clear, there were priests and then there were high priests. There were two types of priests. The priests were there to ultimately make atonement for the sins of the people of Israel when they knew that they sinned. So if I was a person in Israel and I committed a sin and I knew that I sinned, I would go to the priest and let them make atonement for my sin. If someone sinned, they knew it, they would take an offering to be sacrificed, and that priest would sacrifice that lamb or that offering on behalf of me or on behalf of said person so that they could have those sins forgiven, atoned for. The priest would also only go into the holy place. Now, this is another thing that comes up. If you remember, there were two chambers in the temple. There was the holy place and there was the most holy place. Some people call it the Holy of Holies. So you got the holy place and the Holy of Holies, two chambers. The Holy of Holies was where God's glory resided, and not just anyone could go into the Holy of Holies. Therefore, there was also a high priest, and he was the only one that could go into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And he only did that once per year. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, it was ultimately to make atonement through a sacrifice, an offering to God for the congregation of Israel, for every single person in Israel. And this atonement, this atonement was for the sins that the people did unintentionally or unknowingly that they did, or maybe it was something along the lines of where they felt like they were supposed to do something and it would have been right, but they did not do the right thing, if that makes sense. And so this sacrifice that the high priest did was to atone for sins of all the people of Israel once per year. And so, from the time the temple was established, every single year, that high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make that sacrifice on behalf of the people for their sins. And God's wrath against Israel would then be deferred off of them and placed onto the sacrifice. The high priest ultimately acted as a mediator between God and Israel, and this was his service to God. This is also the very service of Jesus to God, as verse 17 teaches us, because he is the greater high priest. He has done what no other high priest was ever able to do. He made propitiation for the sins of the people once and forever as the God-man through the death, through his death. And that is what the author has taken, or sees several verses from verses 10 to 17, is to show us that Jesus was and is a man who suffered through death. Because it was through his death that he was able to make propitiation for the sins of the people. To remind us of last week, we learned that Jesus' death destroyed the power of the devil over death. That Jesus' death delivers believers from the fear of death. And that through Jesus' death, it allows him to help believers because he was a human. He is a human, and as a human, he died and through his death overcame death because he resisted sin and was sinless. And therefore, that's the very reason why verse 17 starts. He had to be made like his brethren. He had to be made human in all things. We looked at that a little bit last week about how Jesus was exactly like us as humans. He lived a similar lifestyle to we do. He was a kid. He was a toddler. He was a teenager. He was a young adult. He worked. He lived a life just like me and you did. He felt pain. He hurt all sorts of things. But the only thing that was different was he resisted sin. He never once sinned. But yet he still died, just as you and I will. And the author has proved to us in chapter 1 that Jesus is God. And in chapter 2, he has proved to us that Jesus is man, showing us that Jesus is the God-man, which is why he's able to be the merciful and faithful high priest. So from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 through 18, we're going to see three actions. We're going to learn three actions in which Christians should live or must live in response to how Christ lived. Three actions in which Christians must live in response to how Christ lived. The first action that we see is we extend mercy because Jesus extends mercy. We extend mercy because Jesus extends mercy to us. Read verse 17 again. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. As I'm sure you've picked up on there, and I hope you did, but we're going to specifically focus on how Jesus is the merciful high priest in the service of God. We've already discussed the role of the high priest, how they acted as a mediator between the people of Israel and God, how they made a sacrifice in order to atone for sins. And just as the high priest would have made a sacrifice, so did Jesus. Except Jesus did not sacrifice an animal. Jesus sacrificed himself. He gave his life. He died on the cross in order to atone for sins, in order to make propitiation for sins, as our passage states here. Now, while we're talking about it, what does the word propitiation mean? This is a really big word. But simply put, propitiation means to appease or to satisfy. And when I say appease or satisfy, I don't mean just a touch of satisfaction or a touch of appeasement. I mean full satisfaction. Wholly satisfied. Paid the full price. That's what it means when Jesus died on the cross. He fully satisfied. He propitiated. He paid the full price of the wrath of God against sin for those who would believe. God is holy, right? And because he is holy, he demands a just punishment when people sin against him. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself the just punishment that you and I as believers deserved. He didn't just take a little bit of it. He didn't just take a piece of it. He took every single part of that punishment upon himself, because he fully satisfied the wrath of God. And that ultimately makes Jesus our, as believers, our high priest. Because through his death, he became our mediator, as Hebrews chapter 9 teaches us. And what an act of mercy that was. What an act of mercy it was for Jesus to die on the cross in our place. Because it was supposed to be you and I. It was supposed to be us. Yet he took on that punishment. He extended mercy and died on the cross in our place, fully taking upon himself the just wrath of God against our sin. I love what Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 says. Do I have it there? I don't. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7 says this. There it is. It says, listen to this. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own, what does it say? Mercy. Because into his own mercy, Jesus, by his own mercy, died on the cross so that we can have salvation. And it continues, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 6, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Church, his mercy has been poured out on us richly, richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And we have been justified by his grace and are now heirs to the Father. We are heirs with Jesus. We have eternal life because of the mercy of Jesus. And church, we should too be exactly like Jesus and extend mercy to those around us. Because as Romans 5:8 says, is it not there? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a display of mercy that was. In our sin, in our mistakes, in our pride, in our self-righteousness, Christ extended mercy and died for us. And even now as believers, when we sin, when we mess up, Christ is still extending mercy to us. So why should we not extend mercy to others, to those around us? And this can take place in so many different ways. When you're driving down the road on the interstate and someone cuts you off, extend mercy. When you're at the grocery store and someone cuts in line in front of you in a very long line because they don't have any more checkouts anymore. It was just self-checkouts. But you're standing in line and someone cuts you off. Extend mercy. When you're at the restaurant and the waiter or waitress has taken forever to come back with your drink, or has taken forever to come and order your food, extend mercy. When the fast food restaurant gets your order wrong, as it often happens, right? Extend mercy. When your neighbor does something that you don't agree with, extend mercy. When your kids disobey you, extend mercy. When your adult kids do things that you don't agree with, extend mercy. When your spouse makes a mistake or even sins against you, extend mercy. When a church member, a brother and sister in Christ, sins against you, extend mercy. And church, let me tell you, this is hard. It can be tremendously hard, can it? Especially when someone cuts in front of you at the grocery store. Especially when they get your order wrong at the fast food restaurant. It can be really hard to want to extend mercy in those times, can it? But if we are to be like Jesus, we must extend mercy to all those around us. Make extending mercy an action, a very, very common action in your life. Because when you do, you are going to display the mercy of Christ. And it's quite possible it could lead to a gospel conversation where you're able to tell someone about Jesus and how He has extended mercy to them. Act like Christ by extending mercy. Our second action is we live faithful because Jesus lives faithful. We live faithful because Jesus is faithful. You read me verse 17 again. And I have no problem rereading this verse because it's such a great verse. As a matter of fact, I think this would be a great verse for you guys to memorize, to put to memory, because it reminds us every day that we have a merciful and faithful high priest, a merciful and faithful Savior. So read with me verse 17 again. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. A faithful high priest. What exactly is the author talking about when he says that Jesus is a faithful high priest? He means ultimately that Jesus was faithful to the God, Jesus was faithful to the Father's plan for Him to be the Savior by dying on the cross. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was the plan of God. That was the plan of the Father. And Jesus remained faithful to that plan. He remained faithful by coming down from heaven, being born of a virgin. He remained faithful by living His life and resisting sin, which is our third action that we're going to talk about here in a moment. Living sinless and dying on the cross, a sacrificial death. He remained faithful. When I think about Jesus' faithfulness, I think of passages where Jesus says, "Not my will, but my Father's will." Y'all remember those? In John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40, Jesus says these words, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day." In verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." These are Jesus' very own words. "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." And that is the Father. And that will of the Father was that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. That was the will of God. That was the will of the Father. And Jesus remained faithful to that plan. He remained faithful to the plan of God all the way to His death on the cross. You may remember that even before going to the cross, Jesus was still faithful. Listen to what Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says. "And going a little farther," this is Jesus, "He fell on His face and prayed, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will.'" Jesus was in the garden where He would soon be arrested. And this is what He is praying to God, because He knows what is coming. And He asked the Father to let that cup pass from Him, but only as the Father wills. As we all know, the Father's will was for Christ to die on the cross, and Jesus remained faithful to that plan. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Do you think you could have been faithful to that plan? To suffer and die on the cross, a sacrificial death? And I believe the answer for all of us is no. Right? I don't think we could have. Because that was a very, very hard plan. And ultimately, it's no, because we aren't Jesus. And because Jesus was faithful, He is able to give life to all those who are faithful to Him. Those who believe in Him. And so I ask you, are you faithful to Jesus? Are you living your life faithful to Him? You know, when I think of people who lived faithful, I think of Joseph, who remained faithful to God when he was sold by his brothers. I think of Daniel being tossed in the lion's den because he remained faithful to God and prayed to Him rather than to the king, when the king made a decree that all should bow to him. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who remained faithful to God by not bowing down to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had created, and how they were thrown into the fiery furnace. These men were faithful in all of life's persecutions and sufferings. Jesus was faithful all the way to His death. How about you? When sufferings come, remain faithful. When temptations come, remain faithful. When you're afraid, remain faithful. When peers are pushing you to push the boundaries, remain faithful, because Christ has remained faithful and has become our Savior. Action 3. We resist sin because Jesus resists sin and helps us. We resist sin Because Jesus resisted sin and extends help to us. Read me verse 18 here. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. This verse is ultimately a verse or phrase that qualifies Jesus as the greater high priest. It is the very reason that Jesus is able to be the merciful and faithful high priest. Because Jesus, as a human, as the Son of God, suffered when tempted, He can be the greater high priest. Church, He is merciful because He knows what it is like to be tempted and to suffer just as you and I do. He is faithful because despite being tempted, despite suffering, despite enduring persecution, He remained faithful to the Father's plan. And therefore, He can help those who are being tempted. He can help those who are suffering because He Himself has fully resisted sin and died on the cross sinless. There's ultimately two ways in which Jesus helps us. And the first way is Jesus helps us in salvation. He helps us in salvation. Because Jesus lived a sinless life and died on the cross, a sacrificial death, He can help people by giving them life. Spiritual life. Eternal life when they believe and repent of their sins. Jesus helps by saving their souls and taking them from death to life. Why does Jesus extend this help of salvation to us? Because we could not help ourselves to salvation. We are not righteous enough. We are not good enough. We cannot do enough right things in order to be saved. But God, in His goodness, Jesus called us, drew us to Him, convicted us of our sin, showed us our need for our Savior. And what did He do? He saved our souls. Praise God that Jesus does not need our help in saving our souls, because we would fail miserably. Jesus, through His death, through His highest priestly work, is helping sinners become saints. And this morning, I just want to say to you, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you've never made a decision to respond to the gospel and believe in Jesus this morning, I want you to know that you can make that decision now. That you can respond to Jesus as Savior and Lord because He wants to help you obtain salvation. He wants to give you spiritual life, eternal life. And all it involves is two things. Believing in Jesus Christ and what He did. Believing that He was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life, that He died a sacrificial death on the cross for your sins because you are a sinner and that has separated you from God in order to bring you back to God, to give you that relationship, to restore that relationship. Believe that He was buried in a tomb for 3 days and on the third day, what did He do? He rose from the grave. Believe in those things. And the second thing, Jesus calls us to repent. To repent of our rebellion against God. To repent of our sin against God. And begin living for Him. If that is you this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you want to repent of your sins during our time of invitation here in just a few minutes, come and make that known. Come and have a conversation with me. If that makes you uncomfortable as you're leaving today, come and have a conversation with me or another Christian that you know about this decision you are making to follow Jesus. And secondly, after you give your life to Jesus, He will help you resist sin. That's what He does for all believers. He helps us all resist sin. Because Jesus has resisted sin, because He has overthrown the power of Satan over death and sin, as we learned last week, He can help us as believers resist sin. As believers, we are no longer slaves to sin, but rather we can reign over sin because Jesus now helps us. So how does Christ help us resist sin? When temptation comes, we must remember the hope that we have in Christ. And through that hope, through our hope in Christ, we can resist sin. The reality is that we as humans cannot fully overcome sin, any sin that is, on our own. We need help. And that help comes from the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. So today, if you find yourself struggling with sin, place your hope in Christ to help you overcome that sin. Maybe it is a specific sin that you've been struggling with for a long time, and you've tried and tried and tried to overcome that sin on your own, and you failed every single time. My encouragement to you is that in this moment, is that when that temptation arises, just simply pray and say, Jesus, you are my hope. And my hope is in you to help me overcome this sin. Jesus, help me to overcome the sin. Help me to reign over the sin because you have called me to live a holy life. And I promise that your hope in Jesus will help you to overcome that sin. That your hope in Jesus will help you to resist sin. In our sermon today, we have seen three actions in which we as believers, as Christians, must live into response to how Christ lived. We extend mercy because Jesus extends mercy to us. We live faithful because Jesus is faithful. We resist sin because Jesus resisted sin and extends help to us. So I ask you this morning, are you extending mercy to those around you? And my next question, my follow-up question would be, how are you, this is for you to think about, how are you going to begin extending mercy to those around you? When someone sins against you, remember to extend mercy to them. Are you living faithful to Jesus? Are you faithfully following Him, faithfully pursuing Him every day of your life? And now ask yourself, how can I begin doing that more? How can I begin and do more faithful following of Jesus Christ? Are you resisting sin? Do you look to Jesus for help in overcoming sin? Or are you trying to overcome that sin all on your own? Seek Jesus' help. Seek His help. Ultimately, the last question here is, are you living and acting like, or excuse me, as Jesus lived and acted? To bring all this together, we essentially should live our lives imitating Christ. Imitating Christ. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says this, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Paul was imitating Christ in his actions. Paul was trying to live and act like Christ. Can you say that about yourself? Can you say what Paul said? Hey friends, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Can you say that to your family? Can you say that to your friends? Your co-workers, to those in your sphere, your spheres of influence? Can you say that to them? Church, when we live and act like Christ, we will imitate Him. We will act like Him. And so my encouragement to you today is to learn more about Christ, how he lived his life, and begin imitating him in every single way. And you will live like Christ. And as you do that, you will extend mercy to others as Christ did. You will live faithful as Christ did. And you will resist sin as Christ did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for Jesus being our faithful and merciful High Priest, Lord. For being the one who extends help to us in salvation and extends help to us in resisting sin. And God, I pray this morning that you will help us, Lord. That you will help us to extend mercy to those around us when we don't want to. When it's hard, Lord, help us to extend mercy. God, help us to live faithful to you. Even when it's challenging, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, Lord, help us to live faithful to you. And lastly, God, I pray that you will just help us to resist sin. God, you've called us to live a holy life, a righteous life. And God, through your help, through the help of Jesus, Lord, help us to remember to go to you, to put our hope in you so we can resist sin. And God, I pray this morning that for someone here who wants to respond to the gospel this morning, to respond by believing and repenting of their sins, Lord, that they will do that in this moment. They will give their life to you, Lord. They'll surrender their life to you and begin following you as Savior and Lord. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.